Chestnut-sided warblers are returning to the Northland all the way from the tropics just to see Miss Beecher. Leastwise, they sing over and over, "I'm here to see Miss Beecher." Male chestnut-sides are dapper fellows with a gold cap outlined with black, white cheek, greenish-yellow wings, snow-white underside, and handsome chestnut line from the jaw to the lower edge of the wing. Females look a bit scruffier, but have enough of the male's markings to be easily identified. These 5-inch flutterers tip the scale at a third of an ounce. Chestnut sides are among the most courteous of their family toward bird watchers. Their song is loud, rich, and at a low enough frequency that most people can hear them easily. And they tend to sing, feed, and do everything else at low enough heights that they're more easily seen than other warblers. They also respond better than most warblers to pishing or squeaking sounds, and they're found in just about any wooded area in the Northland that has dense deciduous undergrowth, so we easily find them in parks, highway rest areas, and even an occasional city neighborhood. They feed almost exclusively on insects on the bottom of flat deciduous leaves, a habit which requires a lot of flitting about, so though they're not hard to see, they're hard to watch for longer than a few seconds at a time. The song most associated with chestnut sides is the accented ending song transcribed as "I'm here to see Miss Beecher" or "Please, please, please to meet ya." This song is most frequently given early in the season when males are trying to attract a mate, and it's easily recognizable. Problem is, chestnut sides also sing unaccented songs that closely resemble the unaccented songs of American redstarts and yellow warblers. It took me a long time to distinguish chestnut-sided and yellow warbler unaccented songs, and I still can't do it with 100% accuracy. These three species are often found in the same woodlands, and song similarity may keep them far enough apart so they aren't hunting for the same insects. Chestnut sides are homebodies, strongly bound to a summer territory here and a winter territory somewhere between southern Nicaragua and Panama. Each male attracts a female to his territory, but apparently believes the old adage about not putting all his eggs in one basket, so he makes friendly visits to one or two neighboring females as well. He helps tend the babies on his territory, some of which may not be his, and trusts that other males will do the same. If a gray jay or a raccoon finds the nest on his territory, at least some babies with his genes will still survive. Chestnut-sided warblers prefer dense second-growth habitat, so they haven't been harmed directly by deforestation either here or on their tropical wintering grounds. John James Audubon saw only a single one in all his years of searching for American birds. Now they're much more abundant than they were in the 1700s and early 1800s, but their population declined again during the past decades due to cowbirds. Most of the chestnut-side nests I've found in the past few years have held as many cowbird eggs as warbler eggs. Once a chestnut side grows up, it can survive surprisingly long for such a long-distance traveler. One banded bird was retrapped and released when it was over 5 years old. We'll never know how old the very oldest ones have lived to be. Most chestnut sides are far too smart to get trapped in the first place. I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.